Sunday morning, February 22nd, study on individual responsibility. We just begun last Sunday as we've dealt some time on the individual responsibility based upon 1 Timothy chapter 5, that individuals have responsibility that the church is not to be burdened. In reference to verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith. Verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents. That the children are to take care of the parents, not the parents to take care of their children. And verse 16, it has reference to, do not let the church be burdened in those situations of taking care of the individual responsibility. And we begin last week on the concept of a local church, and a local church is simply what?
Church is still a group of those who obey the gospel that assembles in that locality.
Okay, it's something, a group that assembles together because of something they have in common, and that is the relationship that they stand with the Father, with the Son, that we looked at last week, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, so it's that group that come together to carry out certain responsibilities. And we looked some that the local church is organized within itself. In other words, Philippians 1, verse 1. The oversight is given that to the elders. And it also has in it deacons and members or saints. Okay? And so that's the organization of a local church. And we looked at the organization, the universal church did not have an organization. Simply Christ was the head. But in the local, Christ has delegated authority to the elders for the oversight of a local congregation. So that's kind of what we dealt with some last week. We looked at fellowship. And what is fellowship?
Sharing.
It's a sharing in something. That's what a local does, okay? It shares in something. And it is certain things they can only share in, okay? It's not extended such as an individual, what they can do as an individual Christian. But the things that a local can do, of which they share in, is specified that they are to do. So kind of keep that in mind, that the local is limited. We'd studied from Acts chapter 2, the idea that those on Pentecost had something in common. Those who had sold and give to those who had not, this sharing, this communion, it may be communion, partaking, however you want to look at it. In Acts chapter 4, it's the same thing. It's something they had in common. There was a need there, okay? There was needy saints there, so those in Acts chapter 4 sold. He was put in the common treasure, and he was given to those who had not. And so that's the idea, if you will, of what it is. It's someone who has, helping those who has not. And we looked a little bit last week as Merlin brought up a very good question concerning that of a preacher. One of the things that we understand that the early church done, when you look at Philippians chapter 4 as a local, okay, the responsibility of a local in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul makes reference to that there in verse 15, now you Philippians, talking to the church at Philippi, also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. And so they had a fellowship with Paul. Paul was lacking. They had a surplus, so they were able to do what? They were able to share in Paul's preaching. They sent because of a need. So they shared with me as far as giving and receiving. None of them did but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you did sin once and again for my what?
Necessities.
Again, it was based upon a need, okay? He says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that avails to your account. So we understand there, and Larry pointed out to me, I simply had reference to it, that a different type of a fellowship was not because of a needy saint as far as their physical needs, but here you have the example of a fellowship involving a preaching of someone, okay? And therefore, I didn't mean to me that Paul was a located preacher, okay? He was an apostle. But again, we'll look at some things this morning. You can draw your own conclusions. When I simply asked you the question, do we have scriptural authority to pay a located preacher? Right? If you say yes, then what scriptures do you turn to show that? Also on top of that, as she asked, do we have scriptural authority to support a preacher that's not in this local? Can they likewise receive pay from a different? In other words, we support lost tribute. Do we have scriptural authority for that? Okay? And I think if I the gist, I hope that was correct on maybe what you were asking.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you said. It shouldn't go on and on. And
I thought,
well,
yeah. Okay. And it would come under, you know, I dealt with the necessity that sometimes when that need is met, it might be a one-time thing that it no longer ceases. Is that the same thing then with the preacher of the gospel or such as Ross and what Donnie do? Okay? And again, we look at, we know that Paul did not put a limit in Philippians chapter 4 when he talked about that they shared with me concerning giving and receiving. There was not a time limit put on it. It was a one-time thing. But they said once and again to my, not necessity, but necessities, over and over, okay? So that was with also that. Acts 18 and verse 11. We understand, and when you look at the Apostle Paul, that the Apostle Paul was simply more than an apostle. Apostle is sent, it simply means what? That one is, who is sent. In Acts chapter 18, verse 11, excuse me, concerning Corinth, he said, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among men. Again, Paul spent some time at Corinth. And what was he doing there? He was preaching and teaching on that. When you turn to Acts chapter 19, in verse 10, when he is at Ephesus, it says, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Jerusalem heard what? So what was Paul doing during his year and a half at Corinth and also here at Ephesus for these 2 years? He was preaching. He's just simply doing no more than what you and I are to do as an individual. When you look at chapter 20, verse 31, Paul there says concerning the elders at Ephesus, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day. Again, you reference that he was there 3 years. So Paul did extend time at certain locations, okay? And during that time, he was just simply preaching. Yes, he was an apostle, but he was also one who preached God's word, okay? So kind of keep that in mind. When you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, again, anytime anyone has anything to say, feel free to speak up if you think I misrepresent something on this. But kind of the context of this year that Paul's apostleship was being questioned. They all thought, the Jews especially thought, that Paul was not an apostle such as the others, as Peter and those were, okay? And he, as we made reference, continually seemed to defend that he was an apostle. And he said in verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? In other words, this labor that Paul done. He says, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you because of that. His labor there. For you are my seal. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me in this. And then he says, do we have no right to eat and drink? As what? As teachers and preachers of the gospel, okay? Do we have no right to take along what? A believing wife. Even though Paul was not married in this, his reference made, if he was, he could do what? And he was not living. Him being an apostle did not bar him or ban him from being married and having children, okay? As also the other apostles. Again, the other apostles had a right to eat and drink. They had a right to take along a believing wife. As also the other apostles, the brother of the Lord and Cephas. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from what? What's Paul getting across here to the church at Corinth? The others had a right to eat and drink. The others had, as an apostle, to take along a believing wife. The other apostle had a right not do what? To refrain from what? From working. Okay? That's the point that he's getting across. And then he gives three examples. He said, is it just Barnabas and I who don't have a right to refrain from working? Again, in reference to what? Being supported. Again, I'm dealing with Paul, okay, and we'll get later on. Dealing with Paul as an apostle, preacher, and teacher of the gospel. Then he gives three examples in verse 7. Someone read that and tell me what they are.
Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock?
What's Paul saying here in his argument?
Basically,
that's what he's saying, okay? If you have goats, and you milk the goats, and you take care of them, you do what?
You get the milk.
You get the milk. Okay? That's all that he's saying. And of course, the flock and stuff that he's referring to here is whom? The church. Okay? The flock at Corinth. And that's what he's having reference to, okay? When you look at verse 9, and we'll come back to this later. Someone read it.
Where it is written in the law of Moses, you should not muzzle an ox that treads out the grain.
Now, you're not to muzzle the ox. If the ox does the work,
serves to eat.
Okay. And that's the point that Paul is making as far as defending his apostleship in this. Someone reads verse 14.
Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel.
Who's those who preach referring to?
Anybody
who preaches. Okay? It's not putting the limit upon Stacy.
Well, it says a little bit different. It says in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel.
As the apostles so earned it, even so those who teach and preach should do likewise. It's about the same reference that Paul's made in these first seven verses. Do we not have the right to refrain from work such as the other apostles? And so you have that. And that verse, again, is those who are commanded, that the Lord has commanded, that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Okay? Do you pinpoint that to a local? Or do you just pinpoint to those who preach? It don't say nothing about a local. It just simply says those who preach. Okay? That they are to likewise partake of that food, that which they sow. Luke chapter 10.
See, I don't know if you're coming back to chapter 9 or not, but another two good points that he makes is in
okay,
verse
go ahead.
11. Really, verse 11 sums up, is a good summary of what he's talking about when he says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?
I would not come back to it. It's a good point.
In verse number 13, he draws their attention back to the law of Moses again, to those who were serving in the temple, that God, even under the Old Testament law, made it so that the priests that were ministering to the things of the temple were allowed to partake of those things that were offered. There was actually a portion of those sacrifices that was to be given to the priests as they ministered about those holy things.
Okay, and we will look at that. But very good points on that. Luke chapter 10. Someone read verses 1 through 7.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If the son of peace is there, your peace may rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. The laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house.
Again, this idea, you had a need here, and that was a need to preach the gospel. You had those 70 that were sent out, which are called laborers. They were going and preach. And verse 7 says, those that do that, the labor is worthy of what? His heart, his wages, what he receives from what? From the labor that he's doing, which is what?
Preaching
the gospel, okay? And so you have that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. Again, you have comments or think we misrepresent something, feel free to speak up. Peter there says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Again, he talks about he's an elder here. He's not referring to himself as an apostle, which he was. But he also served in the elder position. And he was a witness of what? Well, he simply preached the gospel. That's what having reference to of the sufferings. That's what the gospel is. It's the sufferings that Christ went through and has been risen from the dead. 1 Timothy chapter 5, concerning this, the elder, that he says, I also am an elder. Someone read verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages.
Double honor refers to what? Concerning an elder. That he can also serve as an elder? And what?
Preach.
He's receive honor from the local of which he has the oversight. But he's also to be paid for that service, or he can be. That's the authority, if you will, from an elder can be a preacher and receive support from that local congregation because an elder has an oversight of a local. And again, as Donnie made reference to here, that this term again is used, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And again, this was not something new. When you turn back to Leviticus chapter 19, as Donnie had reference to, Leviticus 19, someone read verse 13. Not so much what Donnie's having read to him, just notice what he says here. This is something not new that just come about with the church. Leviticus 19, verse 13.
Thou shalt not defraud the neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning.
Right, it says the reference here, you shall not cheat your neighbor, nor what? How could they do that? Not paying. If somebody does the work, they're to what? They are to be rewarded, okay? Simply just the principle is all I'm trying to do here. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Someone read verses 14 and 15.
You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your countrymen or one of your aliens who is in your land and your towns. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry out against you to the Lord and it becomes sin in you.
Okay, again here, you shall give him the wages the very day that he works. Why?
Because he's earned it.
He's earned it and he's in need. Again, in case some people don't know it, being a gospel preacher is not one of the top paying jobs in America. I can remember well Brother Alvin Holt and Brother Wendell Weiser, who didn't know where the next meal, if it wasn't for Christians helping him and putting clothes on their back, they would never have made it. But again, they labored and they received that which they was needful for. And they were paid. And again, we have the authority, the principle is set forth here. Leviticus chapter 6 again, someone read verses 14 through 16. Leviticus 6, 14 through 16.
This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil, and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma, as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat. With unleavened bread it shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting they shall eat it.
What was Aaron and his son's function? Huh? They were priests. But what was the responsibility of a priest?
To minister sacrifices.
To minister sacrifices, okay. What else?
Take care of the tabernacle.
What about as far as teaching God's word? To teach. Peter has reference to that we are priests today. What's our responsibility? To teach, okay? But it's reference here that they were to eat from that which was furnished him. Did they work? In the service, okay? They were not people that went out in the fields and had this and that, the cattle and stuff. They were laborers that were worthy of their hire, who were supported by material things from the rest of the other tribes of the children of Israel. Such it is today.
Those priests didn't have an easy job either. I know a lot of times we look at it and think, well, that was a pretty clean job. They just stayed in the temple and did. When you think about all the offerings that they had to do and the incense that had to be done, the lamps that could never go out, that was a great responsibility. And really, when you think about it, it would have been easier to have some of the other jobs as opposed to what these priests were responsible for doing.
So it was. It was a continual, if you will, around a continual thing that went on. And again, as far as that, you keep in mind that when you shall not muzzle the ox or that of a laborer is worthy of his hire, those who labor in far as preaching the gospel. An evangelist is simply a messenger of good, okay? It's one who spreads the good tidings. It could involve, it did not have to be an apostle. We can see when you look at Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip. And who was Philip? But what else? He was an evangelist. He's one who preach that which was good. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 5. Paul there that has reference to Timothy being an evangelist.
Second
Timothy? Okay. But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And Christians today are simply what? We're all evangelists. We are set aside as that relationship that we have with our Father to be a preacher to that which is good. That is our main function, okay? But it involves, as we look, the other responsibilities even more than that. So with that, you can draw your own conclusion. Do we have a right as a local to support Donnie? Do we have a right to support Ross? And if you think I misrepresented something,
Philippians
4:17.
Yeah,
not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. It could, I read somewhere, a preacher, Donnie, is to preach because of his love for the truth, not what he's going to receive as the benefit. That's a reward because of the labor that he's in. Okay?
For our account.
For, yeah. For that.
We get joy from him going and teaching the gospel.
Yeah.
He can reach people that we don't.
Yeah. And him or anyone else is in it just because he'll get a paycheck every week. He's in it for the wrong reason. Period.
He'll get his reward for that.
He'll get his reward for that. And again,
Paul refers to that individual that does it as a hireling. When you're just doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Also in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse number 8, Paul said, concerning Corinth, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. That's a do a word study on that word wages in this passage. It means a stipulated pay. Doesn't mean he did it for the money, but that's what he received as a result of the labor that he was put forth
right
to them.
And again, I'm not trying to say they should be underpaid. But I'm saying they should receive the wages of what they've done on that. And again, it's not one of the greatest paying jobs in the world. But I'm going to stop there because we get back to the other when we look on that. Anybody else have any questions on that? Maybe something I didn't make clear. Again, look at the work of a local church. We know one thing, it's for the purpose of supplying needs of the needy saints. And also, as we get in, as benevolence or the preaching of the gospel, we've covered to some extent. But there's one more function that the local church has. Any questions? Thank you.